It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night, live from Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe, right here on 101.3 ESPN, 1859 Mountain View Road. And so this is a fun place to be, and I promise you, if you're in the immediate Burlington area, you're 45 minutes away from Stowe. If you're up north in St. Albans, you're no more than an hour and 15 minutes. So you're no one in our listening area is that far from this place. This is a great place to go. If you want to come here and stay overnight, if you want to go skiing, this is a great spot to come out, eat, and have a couple of great beers. If you want to come here for the day and just go for a date and just explore a cool town, it's a great spot to do that, too. We have had a lot of fun. The staff has been great, from Ava, the manager, to Will, the brewmaster. We have had an absolute blast being out here today at Idle Time Brewing Company. We've had great food, from chicken wings to cheese fritters to Bavarian pretzels. We've had flights of beer. It has been a lot of fun. We go up until 6:30 today, and then we bring you Bruins hockey taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. A couple of housekeeping things to take note of as well. Next Thursday, we are off the air because we've got an all-day viewing party for March Madness, day one of the NCAA tournament, March 15th. That's Thursday. City Sports Grill in Colchester. We'll get more into that as the week continues on to Friday and then next week as well. That'll be a lot of fun. We will have a 101.3 ESPN Bracket Challenge coming up as well. You'll hear more about that. We'll do a Facebook Live and some things promoting that heading into Selection Sunday. So that'll be fun. Also, in Sports Saturday this weekend, 8:30 to 10:30, a special time as we are live at FanFest, Patrick Jim, getting you ready for the American East title game. As for what's coming up today on the show, Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, just a couple of minutes from now, a great story on Anthony Lamb. But first, a really interesting perspective on what's about to happen in NHL free agency, or NFL free agency, rather. NFL free agency kicks off on March 14th, which is next Wednesday. That's when free agents outside of their current teams are allowed to be pursued. That's the start of the new league year. Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, really examined what we're going to see in free agency, and you really shouldn't expect as much as we've expected in the past. And the reason why is for a lot of things that we've talked about, but certain things that we've omitted to realize as well. Teams are more interested in building through the draft. So what we've known that, right? People say build through the draft. So what does that exactly entail then? What does that lead to? It leads to drafted players getting signed to long-term extensions earlier. If teams draft guys and they value them and want to hold on to them, then those players are not likely to reach free agency at a point where they're going to be a hot commodity, a spot where they're going to be given a huge money deal. I mean, look at Lane Johnson. The Eagles signed Lane Johnson to an $11.25 million deal coming out of just his third year. They also locked up Zach Ertz at the same time before Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce got signed also. So teams are looking to draft, develop, and then bring up their, and lock up their own players long term. So that is what teams are looking to do. That is the philosophy of the NFL. Build through the draft, develop a core through the draft, and use free agency to complement your roster. You can't build your roster through free agency. I mean, look at how that has worked out for teams, okay? Look at the New York Giants. Two off-seasons ago, the New York Giants signed Janoris Jenkins, and they signed Olivia Vernon, and they signed Damon Harrison. And then the next year, they locked up Jason Pierre-Paul. And while the Giants ended up making the playoffs that year, they ended up the year after that locked up in a situation where they're older, they're expensive, they don't have a lot of cap space, and now at a time when they need to do a full-scale rebuild, they don't have the ability to do that because they tried to go through free agency to save their team. Jerry Reese said, I'm trying to save my job by giving us a winner. And he got a one-year winner, a team that went to the playoffs one time. But then when it all fell apart, it all fell apart. Old, aging, expensive, not a lot of cap room, and therefore not a lot of maneuverability for the New York Giants. So don't expect as many high-profile guys to be hitting free agency this year or any other year for the near future, because teams are taking care of their own. And as Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback and NBC Sports Boston, a guy we talked with at Super Bowl 52, as he pointed out also, the league is trending younger. So what that means then is that there is more of a premium on a drafted and developed player who's locked up at 23, 24, 25, or an undrafted free agent who's signed and able to just insert into a lineup after 1 or 2 years. There's more value for that guy than there is a 28, 29-year-old who's going to command a lot of money, who's taken a lot more hits, and is closer to the back nine of his career than the beginning. So because of the premium on youth in the NFL now, because the rosters are skewing younger, and maybe even the more collegiate-style influence that's coming into the NFL, younger players are better suited for certain roles. And free agency isn't needed as much. Look at what we talk about the Seahawks team that's breaking up right now, that's in the process of breaking up. Look at how they built that core. Russell Wilson drafted. Bobby Wagner, all-pro linebacker, drafted. K.J. Wright, all-pro drafted. Pro Bowler, drafted. Richard Sherman, drafted. Cam Chancellor, drafted. Those guys were the core of that team, and they were Earl Thomas. Those guys were the core of that team for 5 years. Then you add in Cliff Averill. You add in Michael Bennett. And then the team's able to win a Super Bowl because those pieces put them over the hump. They weren't the foundational pieces. They were the finishing touches. Look at Jacksonville, a team that we liked a lot this year. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but Jalen Ramsey drafted. Blake Bortles drafted. Leonard Fournette drafted. Then you go and sign a Malik Jackson and A.J. Boye. You've got Miles Jack drafted out of UCLA. Allen Robinson, I know he was hurt, but still drafted. D.D. Westbrook drafted. This team built through the draft and then has, as a result of that, had money to spend in free agency to go and get a couple of extra pieces that could help them compete. You can't build everything through free agency. So if you're looking for teams to come out and make a giant splash at free agency and sign 3 to 4 high-priced guys, for the most part, that situation doesn't really work. Last thing Albert Breer said, in which he's right about. Also, there's more trades now. Look at the trades that have happened. We've seen Michael Bennett get traded. Alex Smith was traded earlier in the offseason. These guys that are going to be cap hits, they're no longer always released and then signed. They're traded for value. Teams want draft picks. So I'll give you Michael Bennett if you're going to give me a fifth-round pick. I will do that every day of the week. I was probably going to cut him anyways. So as free agency gets ready to kick off here on Wednesday, don't expect teams to just go hog wild in the money for free agency, because the draft is still and will remain the most important element of the NFL offseason time. As exciting as maybe next Wednesday will be, and as exciting as it might be to see a contender maybe tie a bow on their roster, don't look for full-scale overhauls that will all of a sudden make Super Bowl champions. All right, it's Champlain Valley Game Night live here at Idletime Brewing Company in Stowe, right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com, 1859 Mountain Road in Stowe. And some discouraging comments made today by Danny Ainge. He was on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and he talked about Kyrie Irving and said that the knee injury that's plagued Kyrie Irving, he sat out the other day, said that knee injury is something that could affect Kyrie for the rest of his career. And on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, Aaron tells me that we've got him now, so we'll ask him about that. Kurt Heelan, he's a writer at Pro Basketball Talk. Also, you can find him at NBC Sports Radio, which you can always listen to 24/7 on the NBC Sports Radio app. So, Kurt Heelan, thanks for being with us. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, man.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And are we squashing the Gordon Hayward is coming back narrative now? Because I was confident in it for a while, and now not so much.
Yeah, it should be squashed. I know that there are some I was into it on Twitter with some guys yesterday who seemed very into this narrative. Everybody's saying it's not going to happen, so therefore that's a sign it's going to happen, like Trumpian logic that I can't handle. I was told, and somebody else reported this, like All-Star Weekend, his ankle was still a little swollen and still a little purple. If it's there in February, he's just not going to be able to make the kind of NBA cuts he needs to make by May or whenever you're picturing it. I just don't see it. Him standing there kind of taking jump shots isn't enough. And if you're Boston, I mean, you've always looked long-term, right? I mean, the image has always been, hey, we are going to be next. When LeBron fades, you know, if, assuming he ever fades, watching him last night, but, you know, whenever LeBron isn't the king, we're next. We're going to have this run. And if that's next year, that's fine. Like, it doesn't need to be this season.
And what do you think about Kyrie Irving's knee? He missed a game the other night. Danny Ainge today said that he thinks this is something Kyrie's going to have to just deal with the rest of his career. The Celtics want to lock him up long-term to a big-money deal. Any concern here?
A little. I mean, knee issues are never fun, and those are the kind of things where, look, he may need some, not only just like, you know, a cleanup surgery or something in an off season, but more like a little maintenance during the season and rest. He's had to carry a bigger load, obviously, this year and done it really well, but had to carry a bigger load without Gordon Hayward there. You can consider finding rest minutes for him as this team matures, as you get Gordon Hayward back there. So there's teams, you know, you can rest him for a night against Sacramento and you'll be fine. You know, although you could probably do that now if you've watched Sacramento, but you get the idea. Like, I don't think it's going to be a concern long term. He's a grinder and a fighter, and he's not going to be that slowed by this.
And Kurt, what do you think about the buyout market? Is there still an opportunity for the Celtics to acquire a piece on the buyout market? I mean, Derrick Rose is going to sign with Minnesota, it looks like now, and that's who the Celtics are taking on tonight. Any chance for the Celtics to make a splash on the buyout market?
The buyout market wasn't as vigorous as expected in some quarters, and I think it's pretty much played out. Rose was the biggest name out there. There's a couple of names still, but nothing that's going to change. I don't know that there's a guy out there right now where you're thinking, I want to bring him in and put him in my rotation. Frankly, I don't think Derrick Rose is that guy unless you've lost Jimmy Butler and you're just kind of desperate.
Kurt Elan with us, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports Radio. Kurt, I got to ask you this. The one hot take that I'm willing to just fall on the sword for the rest of my life and the rest of my career is that Blake Griffin and Dwight Howard are the most overrated players of my generation. I'm watching the Pistons last night, and Blake Griffin just infuriates me. He thinks he's a point guard, and he thinks he can shoot three-pointers, and he continues to try to do it. Where are you on Blake Griffin in general?
Well, the biggest problem for Detroit, honestly, is that Reggie Jackson, their actually, you know, good point guard, isn't there. So they're putting all this playmaking responsibility on Griffin. And he's, look, as a forward, he is a good playmaker, but he's not a great three-point shooter. Like you said, he's taught himself that part of the game. But he, you know, remember how bad a shooter he was,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
4 or 5 years ago. So he... But he's not, like, I would rather have him shooting that than, you know, how he tied the game last night. If he gets his back into you and you're single covering him, he's a beast in the post still. He's still athletic enough to make plays and these little jump hooks and stuff in the lane. I would rather have him doing the playmaking stuff. He's okay at it, but it worked really well when there was also Chris Paul doing it. So it was secondary. And maybe next year if they get Reggie Jackson back and it's secondary, it works a little better. But the Pistons are just... Look, they're out of it now. I think I just don't see how they climb back. I think they're 4.5 now, four and a half out with 16, 17 to play. It's just, you're not going to get that done.
Kurt, what do you think about, so the way the standings are right now, the Cavs are in third, the Sixers are in sixth, and there could be a lot of fluctuation between three and six. Teams are together. But what would you think, how good for the NBA would it be to have a LeBron versus Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons first round series?
Oh, that would be so much fun, wouldn't it? Like, that, I'm with you. Like, there's certain matchups you're kind of like, man, that would be fun. A, the Cavs would probably still win that. I still think there's such a learning curve for the Sixers. Just getting to the playoffs for them is a great experience. In theory, they eventually get Markel Fultz back next year, and they make some, you know, they'll be fine. So I think that that's a fun first-round series. And by the way, unfortunately for you guys, then you get them in the second round.
Yeah, right.
And that would be a, you know, Boston and Cleveland would be a fascinating second-round series. But that would be... that would be the real test for. I'm not convinced Cleveland's. They're not better than they were last year. I don't know how really good they are yet. That would be the test.
Kurt Elan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports Radio, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. NBA players coming out of the woodwork, opening up about mental health, opening up about serious issues outside of basketball. DeMar DeRozan first, Kevin Love next. What do you make of the NBA continuing to be at the forefront of trailblazing and some social, you know, some social awareness fields, and also now mental health awareness?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that the league has. How should I say, set up a culture where, or develop the culture where these guys are more comfortable talking about this, because I can't see this happening as the same way in the NFL. The culture of the locker room, the culture of the sport wouldn't allow it. Here, I think that, like you said, the NBA's, both its fan base and its largely, and its It's a younger, more urban kind of fan base, and it's just the culture that the league office has set among the teams is guys are willing to talk about this. And by the way, the other part of that is DeMar DeRozan can do this, and it's not going to affect him much in the locker room. It's not going to change much there, and Toronto's not going to go away from him. Did you watch him last night? I mean, he's DeMar DeRozan's on the bubble, on the line for an all-NBA kind of spot. I mean, he has had a phenomenal season for them. So for him to come out, and then Kevin Love, those are big names, and I think that paves the way for other people. And ideally, I think the goal for this is for people who are not celebrities like that to feel more comfortable talking about and going and getting help when they need it.
Kurt, also on the serious front, how about the Dallas Mavericks, the culture of their, the outside of the court, not the team itself, but the culture of some of their employees. What happens ultimately there to Mark Cuban?
Probably not that much. I mean, there was the person making accusations from a 2011 thing that wasn't prosecuted, so I doubt much comes of that, honestly. They're going to get one of the largest, if not the largest, fine in NBA history, but I think the league is still trying to work out where the punishment lies with them. I mean, they're not, what I'm hearing is they're not really comfortable. I mean, I don't know if they're going to suspend Cuban. I know they've already started to make changes on that side, and he's tried to take steps, but do you punish basketball side for that? I mean, do you take away some draft picks, even second rounders? That hurts the organization, and it hurts the organization, the side of the organization, frankly, where there weren't problems. All the people, all these ladies who were accused, said, hey, the locker room wasn't the problem. The players weren't the problem. The basketball side was fine. It was the business operations side. So do you punish the basketball side too? The league is kind of wrestling with exactly where to go on this. But I think what you're mostly going to see is a massive monetary fine and some sort of other stuff on them that's kind of put some guardrails up, I guess.
Kurt, we'll get you out of here on this. When we talk about the fluctuation in the standings in the Eastern Conference, well, out West, there's the same thing, too. Blink, and all of a sudden, Portland's in third, New Orleans is in fourth, and Minnesota's sixth, and Oklahoma City is seventh. And I think that they're better than Portland and New Orleans. What do you see out West?
It took Anthony Davis and Damian Lillard going off, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And here's the thing. You talk about Minnesota falling. They've got five tough games in a row without Jimmy Butler. They're going to struggle a little. And I'll tell you, the other team to watch, there is a brutal schedule coming up for San Antonio. They don't have Kawhi Leonard back. They've lost, I think they're 2-8 in their last 10. They can slide down really fast. And I don't even know if they host the playoffs if San Antonio's in it, not in it. Do they just stop?
It's like the Patriots. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be weird. It's weird enough they're not going to win 50 games this year. I don't know what happens if they don't make the playoffs.
Kurt Elin, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports Radio. Kurt, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again.
Take care.
I appreciate it again. There he goes, Kurt Elin. Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Thursday, and we're looking forward to our Friday as well, being back at studio. But we've had a lot of fun here at Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. We're also looking forward to Saturday morning, baby, Saturday mid-morning. UVM men's basketball taking on UMBC America East Conference title game, a trip to the NCAA tournament on the line that day. 11 a.m. tip-off, 10:30 is the pregame show with Sam Hyman on this station, 101.3 ESPN, and Sports Saturday, a special edition, 8:30 to 10:30, live from Patrick Gym with FanFest. Aaron, you're the producer of Sports Saturday. You guys got to be pretty pumped for the show, huh?
Oh, we're super excited. We're super excited, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You guys have a great guest list already in work. I know Taylor Koppenrath, UVM legend, is joining the show, as is Amy Huckthausen, who is the commissioner of the America East. Also, Doug Sherman, who's calling the game for ESPN on television. And Aaron, you guys debuted a new game last week, huh? What is that about?
So we started our new game, Hot or Not, where basically I collect some hot takes that I've got, and I give them to Jeff and Bernie, and they tell me whether they think they're feasible or not. And we play that every week at 11:40. But this week we'll be playing.
So I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
So if the take is too hot, so then is the answer to the question not? I heard the promo. I listened to the segment, and you said, "Here's my hot take." It was basically, "Here's my hot take." Yankees are the best team in the AL East, and they run away with the division. Is that hot or not? And Bernie goes, that's hot. Yankees are the best. Well, wouldn't that be, if he thinks the Yankees are the best, wouldn't that not be a hot take?
Well, no, you can go. You can go either way. You can either go that's a shoe-in, and that would still be a not, or it could be a not because it's not feasible. The hot take's got to walk that line, you know.
But Bernie said the Yankees are a lock. He said therefore that it was not. He said that it was a hot take. He goes, that's hot, but he really meant it's not.
Well, I'm giving them as hot takes, but they're calling them hot if they like it. That's the best way I can explain it, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's hot or not. That's the new game. Maybe it's sweeping the country also, like Power Play. That's on Sports Saturday. Real quick, one of the keys for UVM to win the America East title game is going to be the play of Anthony Lamb. Anthony Lamb was featured in America East on their Twitter page today by the America East, and he was talking about loyalty to UVM and why he would never consider transferring from Catamount Country. Here was Anthony Lamb today on the America East Twitter page.
I wouldn't want to leave this place in a state where it's not way better than where I came in. So whatever I'm doing here, I'm trying to make sure I leave like a legacy, especially like with my teammates around me, so I can have something to tell the kids that, because a lot of kids really look up to people here, and it's really like a family environment all around town, and like people know you. So if I were to leave, like that would like crush a lot of people, and I'm not really about crushing people's hearts like that.
I loved that answer from Anthony Lamb. So that puts to rest the question of would Anthony Lamb, the super sophomore, ever transfer. So that's great from the basketball side of things. Then there's the personal side of things and the character traits Anthony Lamb exhibits here in Catamount Country. And really, a great representative of what you want UVM to be. He is a great ambassador of the program. He's a great face for the program. When Trayvell Haynes graduates, he's going to unequivocally be the face of the program. And you should be happy and grateful, Catamount Country, that you've got Anthony Lamb to be the face of that program for two more years once Trayvell Haynes graduates, because there's a lot of tradition in the program that I have learned about over the last year and a half. And Anthony Lamb is going to continue to be part of that as well. And furthermore, I loved what he had to say about it being a community feel here. And I think it's well known now that generally during the games, I am not at most of the UVM games. Not because I don't want to be there, but because I'm generally back in our studio engineering the broadcast with Sam Hyman. And I did get to the playoff game the other day. I've been to three games now this year, and I went to a bunch last year. And I'm going to be at the game on Saturday. The thing that stands out about UVM is that it is a high school feel inside major college basketball. I think that's a really, really unique thing. UVM gets a bad rap. It's a high school gym and all that. Well, there's something to be said for a high school environment, for a community feel where fans and townspeople and students are all invested in the program, and it's cool that Anthony Lamb recognizes that while being here. Look, it has been a great time. Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. Appreciate everybody who has come out tonight. Appreciate everyone who has come through. Thanks to Ava, the manager. Thank you to Will, the brewmaster. We have had a blast. You should come down here sometime as well. 1859 Mountain Road in Stowe. Idle Time Brewing Company. Drive safe back at home, everybody. Know the roads up north closer to Burlington, not necessarily that great. So drive safe. Thank you to Aaron back in the studio, and we'll see you tomorrow back in studio. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.